tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Urban Connections. I'm your host, Donna Morrow Wolf. Our co-host and engineer in studio is Ebony Johnson, and our guest, Deborah Scott, who's going to enlighten us about the ballot issues and the candidates.
I'm certainly going to try to.
On that ballot. here in our area. Thank you so much for being our guest here today, Deborah.
Thank you for the invitation.
And I do want to just mention for those of you who may be familiar with Deborah, she is the political science instructor at Metropolitan Community College and Penn Valley. And so grateful to her, as Donna said, for accepting the invitation. Something that I wasn't just fully aware of myself it was that not every state can do ballot measures, and there are about 24 states that allow citizen-initiated statutes and our constitutional amendments, and Missouri so happens to be one of those states that does both, allows for citizens to have initiated statutes and amendments that we are able to directly vote for.
It's called direct democracy.
Yeah, so that's exciting to me because, on a personal note, I'm getting, I don't think it's working for me to have somebody else represent me.
That's how I like direct. Telling Ebony, she's going to have to run.
Oh, Donna.
Yeah. If you don't want to be represented by other people.
But I don't want to. I think everybody needs to represent themselves. Okay. But at any rate, I digress. I would like to go through just each ballot, Deborah, if we can, and what does it mean? What are we voting for so that we have a really good understanding of what these measures on Tuesday when we go into those polls? So if we could start with Amendment 1, and if you could even say what is an amendment as opposed to a proposition or what have you. So what is an amendment, and then we'll start with Amendment 1.
An amendment is the constitutional. It's changing the Missouri Constitution.
Okay.
And so, and we can do that directly through the direct democracy thing. It could be, you know, a ballot thing, petition, mm-hmm. or the state legislature can propose constitutional changes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for that. And so, Amendment 1.
Amendment 1 is commonly referred to as the Clean Missouri Amendment.
Okay.
It changes. It's supposed to try to attempt to stop all the big money and special interests influencing mm-hmm. Jefferson City. Right now, state legislators can accept gifts at any. You know, I think they have a cap amount, but it's mm-hmm. not very big cap. Mm-hmm. Contributions for their campaigns, things like that. My problem with Clean Missouri is that it's combining several different aspects into one amendment.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah.
It's talking about redistricting mm-hmm. and reapportioning the physical boundaries of state senatorial, state house districts, and congressional districts.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's talking about changing campaign limits on contributions and how much limiting the gifts that state legislatures receive from lobbyists.
Mm-hmm.
And these things, you know, it's just too much.
Why would it be in one?
One,
yeah.
It needs to be considered and looked at separately.
Mm-hmm.
But it's often a technique to, you know, combine things onto one issue mm-hmm. or amendment or proposal or whatever, because you know that some of the other aspects are not popular.
Mm-hmm.
And so you put it with something that's going to be popular. Most Americans, Missourians included, want campaign financing reform.
Right.
And it's overwhelming. We definitely want it. Our legislators, our elected officials, don't.
Mm-hmm.
So this was thrown in because that's something, again, that we want. And what they really want, I think, is the this proposal for the practice of gerrymandering and making it a legal thing that we can gerrymander people out of their electoral districts.
So if somebody votes, so if you vote, if I wanted to vote yes for some and no for the rest, that's not possible. So then
it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing.
Let me ask this, Deborah. This piece of this Amendment 1 that says change process and criteria for redrawing state legislative districts during reapportionment, where is the language that talks about how this process will be changed and what the criteria for redrawing the state legislative districts will be? Where is that part?
That's part of the problem.
Okay.
That's part of the problem. It it doesn't. It leaves it open to implementation that will put all of that together. Now, it does say that they want an independent demographer to work with the new boundary lines, and that it would be reviewed by a bipartisan commission. But again, who's going to appoint the that commission?
Independent is that's relative.
Yeah,
independent according to whose
criteria?
Independence.
Most likely, the appointment to the commission could be done by the governor and whoever is in the governor's mansion, Democrat or Republican. That commission is going to reflect that.
Okay.
Or could possibly.
Could possibly.
See this, but it all right. So what would you tell us about just a yes or no vote? It seems to be kind of it really seems to be tricky to me. And so like you said, you're either voting, you're going to have to say yes to all of it or no to all of it.
Exactly.
Even if you want to break it up and say yes to some.
A lot of groups have recommended a no vote. Other groups have said yes.
And so what would be the time frame once this constitutional amendment, say it is passed, what would be the time frame for implementation? And would there ever be any public hearings or public input on any of that, those, quote, processes?
No, there won't be any public hearings on, I doubt it, if there is any public hearings on that. It could possibly mean that. And I'm not sure what the time frame is on the implementation.
Very interesting.
Okay, Amendment 2.
Amendment 2 is one of the marijuana, or the cannabis, whichever word you call it. They, you know, my day was weed, but
it still is.
It is one of their. This imposes a 4% tax on the retail sale. This is medical marijuana. It's not recreational. It's medical, so you will have to have a prescription from a doctor in order to get this filled. The proceeds on the funds on that 4% tax is for the health care and services for military veterans, and will be administered by the Missouri Veterans Commission. To administer the program and to license and to certify and to regulate the facilities or the dispensaries, as they're called in Colorado.
So would this also give people the ability to grow marijuana or cannabis in Missouri? Or it says allow the use of marijuana for medical purposes.
It's more the use for medical purposes. I don't believe this particular one has the capacity for you to grow.
Okay.
That's an interesting question. So is it illegal? to grow marijuana in Missouri for medical purposes? To grow it?
Yes.
Okay, it's illegal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you get caught with a plant, you're going to jail.
Okay.
Okay. And it does, I do have some information here. So if this measure is passed, so if it's a yes vote, mainly yes, this measure will impose a 4% retail sales tax on marijuana for medical purposes. And they say it's going to generate annual taxes and fees of $18 million for state operating costs of veterans.
And
$6 million for local governments. Okay.
I think the one thing about that.
And for the state, they'll get $7
million. Yeah.
This is imposing a 4% tax on the retail sale of this medical marijuana so that people who are not purchasers are not going to be liable for that that tax. So it's not a statewide tax.
No, it's not a state. It's just on that purchase.
Just on that purchase. Okay. Just like on
just on that purchase. And like I said again, well, the state Department of Health and Senior Services would regulate the marijuana cultivation and dispensaries, but all the proceeds mainly will go toward Missouri Veterans Commission.
Okay. All right. Amendment 3.
Amendment 3 is another of the marijuana proposals. This one imposes a 15% sales tax, which is the highest of the three proposals. The tax would be on the wholesale sale of marijuana flowers and leaves, and it is be based on the dry weight ounce of, you know, to the licensed facilities. This particular measure was funded and pushed through or managed to get on the ballot through the efforts of Dr. Brad Bradshaw of Springfield, Missouri. And his entity would be the governing body, of that. Of how it would be dispensed, of the dispensaries and et cetera. Now, the proceeds from this whopping 15% would go toward a biomedical research and drug development institute to do research on medical marijuana and research and development treatments and cures for cancer and other diseases. So it has nothing to do with veterans schools or anything. It's strictly going to fund what people have implied as his program.
So to me, this is a little confusing. Constitutional Amendment Number 2, which is about a 4% retail sales tax on marijuana, and the proceeds would go to veterans
programs.
And then Amendment Number 3, which is for a 15% tax on the retail sale of marijuana. So are we talking about two taxes on top of each other?
No.
Or one or the other?
There's three proposals on the marijuana issue.
Okay.
And whichever one gets the highest votes is the one that would be implemented.
Really? Oh. See, that doesn't even say that on this ballot.
No, because these came from three different sources of people putting it to get it on the ballot.
Back up and say that again, Ms. Depp. So we're not voting necessarily. Okay, I'm just going to say if people voted yes on all, you know, if the majority of vote was yes on all of the marijuana measures, you're saying only one of the three then, whichever one of the three with the highest votes is what we would actually see implemented. So I'm not actually voting yes for all of them to be implemented.
But you could.
You could vote, but then it would be up to the state to look at the vote and the turn and That's how they'll determine which one they'll implement.
I just think this is the ballot then is misleading because they're on this sample ballot I'm looking at. I don't see any kind of instructions that let you know that that's the case, that really these three different laws are competing against each other.
They are competing against each other, yes.
But the ballot doesn't say that.
No, it doesn't.
But you're here saying it on 90.1 FM on the Urban Connection show. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate
it. We do.
We appreciate that because that's the whole point, to help educate.
Now, you teach college kids. You teach at Penn Valley Community College. Have they been expressing their ideas on this ballot? Have you been talking to them about these initiatives? Where are the kids coming down on this issue?
Oh, well, of course they're jumping up and down. I mean, I shouldn't say that. Not all of them. Mm-hmm. But they are interested in it. They would like, I think a lot of them are talking about it, well, it should be recreational as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so like Colorado and Washington State and some other states. So we'll have to see. Now, they too were confused over which one of the proposals is best suited for,
for the state of Missouri.
Yeah.
This second one, this amendment number three, you know, I'm into farming these days, and this amendment number three does, to me, imply that it may we may be leaning towards the legal production of marijuana or cannabis.
Well, it's not going to be in the state's hands. It's going to be in the hands of a private entity.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the state growing it, but that this 15% tax on the retail sale of marijuana and a tax on the wholesale sale of marijuana flowers and leaves per dry weight ounce to licensed facilities. Somebody's got to grow that in order to sell it to...
And the entity, this new state biomedical research and drug development institute would be the one that will develop the guidelines and the standards for the growth and the licensing of the dispensaries, et cetera.
But they would not be necessarily growers themselves, and it wouldn't even necessarily have to be grown in the state of Missouri. Looking at this,
I would think that it would have to be grown
because
in the state of Missouri.
Our constitution amendment.
There's no way you can go across state lines with a drug that is on the federal.
the federal list, and then there's all the issues of banking too. You can't put money made from the sale of marijuana in a bank.
That's one of the issues in Colorado and Washington State, is that they have the dispensaries. It's been voted on by the people to have it for medical and recreational. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the financing and paying the vendors that you have, because you have bags that you got to put it in and all this, so that requires a lot of vendors, outside vendors. You got to pay them cash.
And I guess you pay the state your tax in cash, too.
You pay the state your tax in cash.
Okay.
We do have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Eric. I'm calling from Midtown.
Hi, Eric. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, I was listening to your topic of conversation there, and I heard a program a week or so ago on the same radio station about this same subject, and what they said was that Amendment 1 was like a 2 or 3% tax, 2 was like a 5 to 7, and then 3 was that attorney you see on TV, that Brad Bradshaw attorney, he wants to be the drug czar of Missouri, and he wants to be in control of the whole thing, and then if anybody wants to get a reference or prescription from a doctor, he oversees the whole thing on it. So he's almost like a drug czar. They said that no other state has that, and they said Amendment 2 was the closest one to all the other states that have this medical marijuana. and that they thought that that was the best one, Amendment 2 was. And I agree with him, too, because we don't need a drug czar. It sounds like he's just trying to make money off the whole situation. And 3, and Amendment 1 is a lower tax, and 2's right in the middle, so 2 sounds like the one that we want to give the state a little more money, and we don't need the drug czar 15% on 3.
I agree with you. That's kind of my personal take on it. One of the reasons why the whole marijuana thing is such a controversy, especially since they've found and it's scientifically been concluded to certain that marijuana has medical benefits.
Exactly.
Pharmaceutical companies want that. They want to control that. And so
this is taking money away from the pharmaceutical companies, and that's why they don't like it.
Exactly.
Which the pharmaceutical companies are actually just a bunch of drug pushers is what they are.
Yeah,
when I was a kid growing up, you didn't have these drug pushers on TV trying to sell you their pills, you know, and stuff. It's out of control, you know. And then all these doctors that prescribe the stuff or try to push it to you are making kickbacks on the drugs that they're pushing to you, so it's just out of control.
Well, thanks so much for your call, Eric. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I was wondering if we could go to Prop C, the third ballot issue dealing with marijuana, deal with them all as a group.
Now, this would be Missouri law. This is not a constitutional amendment.
Okay.
So this would be like a statutory state law. And so it could be changed.
Okay.
Much easier than a constitutional amendment.
All right.
So it offers the lowest. I mean, I think a 2% tax on the sale, the retail sale of medical marijuana, and it broadens the use of the proceeds. Will go toward veteran services, drug treatment programs, which we need, early childhood education,
which we need,
and public safety in cities with the miracle marijuana facilities. The state government would oversee the implementation. They talk about a one-time implementation cost of $2.6 million. An annual cost of $10 million. The revenue from this, because it's so low, you're only talking a 2% tax. So it won't generate a whole lot of revenue for the entities that it is going to be, the funds are going to be used for. But because it's a statutory law, that could later be changed to increase that sales tax.
Okay. We have another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is BD. I'm just south of Kansas City here. On the prop thing, I'm not agreeing with, I'm going to vote no, actually, on proposition, because that gives the state the chance to change the tax, change where the tax goes, change everything about that as Missouri law, whereas an amendment to creates any profits go to veterans that doesn't go back into the medical cannabis. And Amendment 3, Missouri doesn't need Brad Bradshaw as a weed czar, because that's more or less what that is. That's putting him in charge of all that at a 15% tax, no profit, which would give him a salary and all that, which would show. So that's not even not even on the table for me. It's a yes on 2, no on 3, and no on the prop. Just to keep it right. The 2% or the 4% tax is what is generally done to start the medical cannabis everywhere else. That's kind of the footprint that everybody starts with to advance. And I think it's going to the right place. It's going right back into medical cannabis and keeping it legal and right and graded, and anything left over that's not used in the medical cannabis will be go to veterans. So I think that's the best way to do this. And I think it keeps all the people that are interested in partaking of legal cannabis, keeps their dollars where they want it to go, you know, veterans and back into what's keeping it going. So that's my opinion, that's my idea, and that's how I'm going to do it on Tuesday.
Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate you for listening.
Thanks, Peter. I wanted to mention Prop C is the only initiative I see here that specifically deals with state prohibitions on growth, possession, production, and sale of medical marijuana by licensed and regulated facilities. So that is one consideration, one detail that's sort of addressed in the Proposition C that is not addressed specifically in the other areas. Who is Brad Bradshaw? And you know, who died and left him in charge?
He funded the whole petition.
Finish that sentence. He funded the whole petition?
Petition drive.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He funded the whole petition drive, from my understanding.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I may be wrong, but he funded it. He was the petition drive leader. I really honestly don't know that much about him personally or who he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a doctor from Springfield.
I think that would kind of be worth knowing.
I think so too. Just for what the last caller, his comment.
Yeah, what truly motivates this guy.
This is going to be a money-making, and he's the highest, 15% is the highest.
Yeah, that is.
That's a lot of money it's going to generate.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a station break to take now, and then we will come back and finish talking about the rest of the ballot measures here on Urban Connections with Deborah Scott, political and science instructor from Penn Valley, and myself co-hosting Ebony Johnson and our host and executive producer Donna Wolf on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you all for tuning in and calling in, and you can continue as you have questions so that we can have a fair understanding of what it is we're doing on Tuesday. Stay with us. We'll be back after these messages.
Jaws of Justice Radio investigates how we can achieve justice from a system of laws deeply rooted in economic, political, and social inequality. We strive to dispel misconceptions created by the news and entertainment industries, as well as the fear-mongering of the political system. Listen in as we search out the tools needed to make our community a more just environment. Jaws of Justice Radio, Mondays at 9 a.m., right after Democracy Now!
Thanks to all of our donors, volunteers, active members, board of directors, and staff for keeping us your source for truly independent media for over 30 years. The KKFI you hear today is due to years of hard work. We just finished our fall fund drive, and with all of the sustaining donations, we will be able to hit our goal of $70,000. Thank you very much. If you missed your chance to donate during this drive, please take the time to go to kkfi.org and click the donate button. KKFI truly is for and by the community. Thank you for your support.
Here on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio, the Urban Connection Show with your host Donna Wolf, co-hosting myself Ebony Johnson and our guest Deborah Scott, political science instructor from Penn Valley Metropolitan Community College. We do have a we are talking about the ballot measures that we're going to be voting on, direct democracy, even though that has its, as we're talking here, I mean, the way that the ballots are worded and put together may not be as direct. But that being said, we do have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Jamie, and I'm calling from, I live in the Plaza area, and I just wanted to make a couple of comments about the medical marijuana initiative. I did quite a bit of research into it, and one thing is that Dr. Bradshaw, as I understand it, he is a doctor, but he's never practiced as a doctor. He's also a lawyer. Basically, he specializes in lawsuits, medical lawsuits, and I think his amendment would be, it'd be just a shame if his passes. I want to urge people to vote both for Proposition C and Amendment 2, and because I think a Proposition C is very good law, but if we have to vote for Amendment 2 because we don't want Amendment 3 to pass, and whatever amendment gets the most votes, that's going to be the one that goes into the Constitution.
Well, thank you so much for your call and your comment. We appreciate you for listening.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye.
Okay. Well, let's keep going so that we hopefully were able to cover all of our measures here before the hour is over. Okay.
We have three alumnus of St. Teresa's Academy in the studio. It was unplanned. Myself, Deborah Scott, and Sharon Doherty Vallo wound up at this table together. And it just seems so right.
Yeah.
I'm happy that our paths have led to this. We went someplace and were educated in common.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a particular era. It was a particular vibe. But we emerged strong thinking women out in the community, making our voices be heard. And I'm just proud to be here with my sisters today.
Such is life.
Yeah.
Such is life.
Yeah.
Oh, Sharon, okay. You had a comment.
Yeah, I was just going to say on the marijuana amendment versus the proposition, and what Deborah Scott brought up is absolutely correct about the difference in the proposition and the amendment. The proposition is therefore changeable, and a comment that she was making is, you know, bait and switch.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing about that I noticed about Prop C is that it requires the governor's approval and oversight. And so depending upon who becomes governor, that could take it in one direction for the good or another direction for who knows what, something that isn't necessarily what we are voting on. So, but the bait and switch idea.
Yeah, it's like I was explaining in the break that well, first of all, I need to say the state legislators do not like propositions and initiatives. They don't like the direct democracy because it's a way around them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's what they feel their job is,
mm-hmm.
is to make public policy.
Mm-hmm.
You elect them to represent you.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have a habit of baiting and switching. If you vote in favor of what you think you're voting for, then they'll switch the money.
Mm-hmm.
Or in this case, they could possibly add some money. They'll add some more. 2% is not a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I use the example of the pari-mutuel betting lottery.
Mm-hmm.
They sold Missourians voters on it that it would fund public education, which mm-hmm. it does. But what they didn't tell you was that they put the pari-mutuel, the gambling money into the schools and pulled general mm-hmm. revenue monies out
mm-hmm.
and used it for other things. So
it didn't really increase. Yeah.
Public education, but we were led to believe that that's what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
Right. Okay. Amendment 4. Is that the one we're on? I believe so.
Yeah, this is about bingo games.
Okay.
And this change is remove the language on a licensed organization conducting bingo games to participate in the management of the bingo games. Right now, you have to be a member of the organization, like, let's say, the Knights of Columbus or somebody was running bingo games. Mm-hmm. They're licensed. You had to be an employee there for 2 years before you could participate in the management of the game.
Okay.
Okay, so this lowers the requirement to 6 months as a member of the organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do we understand why that might be a good thing? Why it might be a good thing? What's been going on that's made this an issue?
Well, you know, these organizations could be, you know, it could be a nonprofit, it could be, you know, a church or whatever. You're attracting new people to join your organization, and you need the manpower to operate those games.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have the manpower, you can't keep your membership in, you know, okay. it just eases the burden.
Hmm.
And then somebody might show up and pop up on the scene, and you really don't know enough about them.
Well, I think that was the whole idea behind the 2 years.
The 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Proposition B.
Minimum wage. It increases Missouri's minimum wage on a gradual basis. It will, over the course of several years, each year 85 cents I think per hour will increase until 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And it would end up with a state minimum wage of $12 per hour. I mean, that's still not a living wage,
because 2023, if first of all, that's 5 years away, and then second of all, what else is, to your point about what are you, what if, other things are going to increase, and then even
right.
just the. Yeah.
It's not a living wage, but it is a move in the right direction. It beats not increasing, making any effort at all to increase the minimum wage. So it's a start in the right direction.
So this is a far cry from the $15 per hour national movement and local movement that we have.
Oh, yes. And plus they're asking for that immediate now.
Yeah.
And that's more of a, it's closer to a living wage,
right.
that $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, a pretty watered down version.
Yeah, it's weak.
It is mm-hmm. weak.
How did we get to? Do you have any knowledge of how we got to why we wanted to put $12 an hour and have it gradually go to 2023 as opposed to $15 now or even $12 now?
Well, most businesses, small businesses especially,
mm-hmm.
would struggle with
to
pay that $15 an hour right now up front.
Mm-hmm. Or I mean, the 12, let's say.
Or even the 12.
Or even the 12. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be a burden on business. And the business sector wouldn't even support something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the number one cost on a business, on their budget, is their salaries
mm-hmm.
and wages. That's the big budget item.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to just give him information on. So I know we talked about how the increase would go, but the wage rates would be $8.60 per hour beginning January 1, 2019. And then it would go up to $9.45 per hour January 1, 2020. and then it would go up to $10.30 per hour in January 1, 2021, mm-hmm. $11.15 per hour January 1, 2022, and then you would get to the 12 in 2023. Mm-hmm. So just so you know, so next year it would be $8.60.
Yes.
You know, so just
it's gradual. It's minimal. It's not getting them to a living wage, but, you know, not everybody, not everybody can make or get a job that pays $15, $20 an hour. There are just a lot of folks who they're working, though. They're working, they're doing honest work.
Yeah.
But, you know, they don't have the skill set, the college education.
Now, some people say that oh my goodness, I can see his face, but the CEO of Amazon, he announced mm-hmm. that he was going to start doing $15 mm-hmm. an hour.
Jeff
and
Bezos.
So, Jeff Bezos, thank you. And so, you know, in the private sector, I mean, him making that move does then... maybe influence other people to make
yeah.
a move as well.
Yeah.
We do have Amazon here.
Yeah.
And it makes obscene profits. Jeff Bezos,
yeah.
in the meantime,
yeah.
is like the richest
yeah.
man in the world. And his, you know, profit margin is, you know,
yeah.
obscene, in
yeah.
my opinion. So are businesses willing to take less of a profit in order to achieve a greater good for our society?
No.
Don't. We do have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
I called a little bit ago. This is BD. I'm down in Independence now and listening to the show. And let me give you a different perspective on this. Okay. I work for a restaurant. I'm the head of the kitchen, and I make $16.80 an hour. Okay. I'm more of a salaried employee, and if I break it down to 40 hours, it's $16.80 an hour. Now, if they instantly flashed everybody's minimum wage to $12 or $15 an hour, I've been 3 years in this kitchen to get to $16.80 an hour, and I would feel very disappointed, and, I mean, I've had this discussion with the people that own the restaurant I work for. It's like, I want people to do better. I want increases in minimum wage, but I don't want to all of a sudden come to work one day and be making minimum wage. That's crazy. And the people that own the restaurant, they can't afford to take me in an inflation rate, as opposed to from $8.25 an hour bump me to whatever the difference is, so that I would still maintain my place. Does that make sense to you guys? You understand
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If I show up to work tomorrow and everybody's making $15 an hour, and I've been here for 5 years and I'm only making, you know, just a little under 17, and it's taken me a long. I started at 9, and everybody all of a sudden is making 15. I'm kind of let down. I'm as a person who's put in time, and because my place of business isn't going to be able to adjust my pay to accommodate me not making minimum wage now. So I just think that's the problem with instantly doing it. And it's going to be easier for corporates to do that. Amazon, Walmart, McDonald's, Koch Brothers, they own, you know, it's going to be easier for people that have millions and millions and billions sitting, not doing anything, to do their employees that way. But the mom-and-pop shops, they aren't going to be able to give their employees $15 an hour. And that's going to make some of them even close. You know, we lost a lot of mom-and-pop brick-and-mortar stores. We lost them to the big chain stores. And this will even do more damage to those mom-and-pop shops, because they won't be able to maintain an employee at $15 an hour, giving them 40 hours a week, you know, and definitely no benefits. And so I want to advance the minimum wage, but I don't know how to do it without making people that are already working and making that amount of money feel like they've just lost everything.
Well, thanks so much for your comment. Appreciate you for listening.
Thank you very much.
That's an interesting moral dilemma.
Yeah.
Am I my brother's keeper? do I have to absorb this change so that everybody can do better?
And I think this is a compromise measure because it does it on a gradual basis. And he's absolutely right. It would definitely destroy the mom and pop stores and the small businesses. Yeah, it would definitely put them out of business.
Well, Walmart already did that.
Oh, so,
yeah, you know. I'm just saying.
You're just saying.
I'm a cynic. I just think that there has been so much damage done in our society structurally that any of the measures that are taken right now are small steps that are just inching us towards some sort of equality, some sort of justice. It's not going fast enough for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there can be some sort of criteria about the wealth of the company and relate that to the wages,
a percentage
that it has
or something. Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay, last proposition, Proposition D.
This particular amendment is about our roads and our highways and how desperately our state has the lowest gas tax in the country. We are one of the lowest.
Missouri. We have Kansas and Missouri listeners, but for our listeners, Missouri.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Kansas.
And this is only on the Missouri ballot anyway.
And Kansas residents, a lot of them, when they drive to work in Missouri, they're gassing up because Kansas raised their tax a long time ago. I think it's like 10 cents more than ours. And so they fill up over here in Missouri. Now they'll be able to stay at home and fill up in Kansas because our gas is going to be just as high.
So if you vote yes, well, can you just say, do you have more to say about just what this proposition is? Then I'll go down and break through.
It's not only going to be gasoline, it's going to be natural gas as well as propane gas. The propane fuel, like I use that down at the lake, is propane. So that's going to increase as well. The measure is going to go not only toward the roads, but it's also going to go for Missouri Highway Patrol. You know, we're very this is a way of getting people to approve something because we're so supportive of our police department and law enforcement now. And so we're trying to prop them up, and so we put in there, and we're going to give money to the Missouri Highway Patrol and law enforcement. So this beats it up. This also would get another way of generating jobs. If we get some road work done, people will be working that construction of that road work.
Okay. We have a call.
Go ahead.
We do have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Please state your name.
It's BD again. I'm sorry I'm your only caller, and I keep voicing my opinion.
Quickly, if you can.
The deterrent for this is that, the deterrent, is that the money goes to law enforcement. That doesn't seem like it beefs it up for me. I think law enforcement has enough funding. but if it said that it was going to do infrastructure and add jobs and all that, I would be more inclined to want to vote for that. And I'll get off the phone so other people can voice their opinion.
Thank you.
This also, Proposition D, is to establish the Emergency State Freight Bottleneck Fund. What's that about, Deborah?
It has something to do with the heavy 18-wheelers traffic.
Okay.
And a lot of the bottleneck is them on the road.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And our roads can't handle, they keep traffic bottled up.
Okay.
Because they're on the road.
Mm-hmm. Sounds kind of obscure, but.
I would just say to the caller's, the last caller's point that additional law enforcement in the community isn't necessarily a a good response if we don't have better training for law enforcement. Missouri, in particular, has some issues with our law enforcement profile. If you look at some of the reports that have come out, we have a lot of profiling. We have some issues that have come up with the way that arrests are handled. And we really need to look at not just putting bodies in the uniform, but improving the services to the community.
I do want to say, give the increases. Currently, the Missouri State motor fuel tax rate is 17 cents per gallon. If this measure is passed by July 1 of 2019, it will be 19.5 cents per gallon. And then by July of 2020, it will go up to 22 cents. By July 2021, it will go up to 24.5 cents per gallon. And then July 1, 2022, it'll go to 27 cents mm-hmm. per gallon.
Another gradual tax hike. But the funds are definitely needed. I do have problems with the Missouri Highway Patrol because again, mm-hmm. this is bait and switch. Mm-hmm. We're going to fund Missouri Highway Patrol law enforcement, and at the same time, we'll pull our general revenue money out of funding the Missouri Highway Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to replace that money.
Donna, you see my frustrations with...
Yes, I see your frustrations.
But I'm going to say that one of the things that politicians play on is, and the power elite, is our lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And our lack of political knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we can take our country back, we the voters...
By voting
and increasing our political knowledge, mm-hmm. not voting. A lot of people vote,
mm-hmm.
but they vote without having knowledge mm-hmm. about the issues
mm-hmm.
and about politics. Period. You know.
I feel as though it's also incumbent upon us to start to create law, be on the creating side of things, not just voting based on someone else deciding these are your choices, now choose from these choices that I've ordained for you to choose from, because I may not like any of those choices actually, and they may not work for me or my people. But on the creating end of being able to get things on the ballot or being able to nurture and have candidates, if you will, or direct democracy to the degree that we can actually nurture and grow that.
And that's the whole idea of these direct democracy tools,
mm-hmm.
is like initiatives and referendums and constitutional amendments, is to for us to get involved mm-hmm. in public policy making.
Yeah.
We have tools. So now a lot of state legislatures are talking about removing those tools.
Yes.
Mm.
And there's been some discussion about that, too, here in Missouri.
So if there is an issue that you would like to see on the ballot, then you have to be the driving, motivating force behind saying what that issue is, articulating that issue clearly, getting out there and I don't want to say marketing, but letting your idea be known. Get those signatures. You do have to market it.
Yeah, and it's not easy. It's not an easy task.
No, it's not easy. That'd be
tough.
I
mean, it's tough because you got to get petition signatures of registered voters throughout the state.
And how many? How many? Do
it depends on the measure and what you're trying to do.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll tell you.
I'm sure it's mm-hmm. tens of thousands of
yes,
signatures
it is.
To
yeah.
get an initiative.
And you have to get it from so many different counties within
mm-hmm.
the
yeah.
state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of, it's not that easy to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for coming and enlightening us and helping to educate us to increase our political awareness so that we do have an understanding of, a better understanding, if you will, of what we are doing are attempting to do on Tuesday, November the 6th. You've been listening to Deborah Scott, political and science instructor from Metropolitan Community College, Penn Valley. And this has been the Urban Connection Show with Donna Wolf and Ebony Johnson. And Donna's still looking maybe at some...
I'm just going to... Well, we didn't discuss candidates, and we didn't discuss the issues that the candidates have been bandying back and forth. So I just want to impress upon everybody the importance of exercising your right to vote, doing as much research as you possibly can on the issues and the candidates. Do your research from several different sources. And make an objective decision, and then go out there and exercise that right that people died for in order for you to vote.
And don't just take those commercials.
Oh, heavens.
Those TV commercials as gospel.
Yeah.
They are there to distort the truth.
All right. All right. Thanks
Please,
so much.
Thank you. Please stay tuned for Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson, and then later Roots Wise Reggae with Rockin' Donna. Thanks for listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.